You know, it's an honor and it's a privilege to be up here, but I have to be honest with y'all and tell you kind of what I go through. So I am very reluctant to make these kind of commitments. So I get the call from Rob and I'm like, let me get back with you. And Rob's pretty good about putting that peer pressure on you and kind of says, well, I need to know by this time. So then I decide I'm going to do it, and I start to get excited about it. Really do. Get a little fired up about it. But then as the day approaches, I start to get more and more reluctant. And my kids and my wife will tell you, kind of turn into a beast on any day I teach or preach. I like got to get in this quiet spot and do my own thing. And so, you know, when you're wrestling with those types of things, you start having all your own self-talk inside me. And I'm like, I can do this. You can do this. Rob wouldn't have asked you if you couldn't do this. But then it occurs to me, Rob would ask you if you couldn't do this. That helps his job security. So tonight I want to talk to you about praying without ceasing. I want to give credit where credit's due. I prepared this message using an outline provided by Mark Copeland, who is a preacher and an elder with the Fortune Road Church of Christ in Kissimmee, Florida. He's got great materials. So as we jump into this and we look at prayer, if you were in my class this morning, I'm sorry, some of this is a little bit of a repeat. A few facts about prayer. One thing that I find absolutely amazing about prayer is when you look at the old law and when you look at the new covenant, lots of things changed in how people related to God and how they dealt with God. But one of the things that is consistent from Old Testament to New Testament is man's ability to pray to his God. And so we have multiple examples in the Old Testament of men praying to God, and then we have them in the New Testament as well. There's seven different Hebrew words in the Old Testament that are used for prayer. There's five different Greek words in the New Testament for prayer. This number blew my mind, but I can actually send you the list if you're interested in it. I'd be happy to email it to you. There's approximately 650 prayers in the Bible, and there's 450 answers to those prayers in the Bible. We have Jesus praying 25 times in his earthly ministry. We have Paul mentioning prayer 41 times in his writing. So prayer is first mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 4:26, where it says, Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. And at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. One writer said, prayer is a living, vital expression of relationship between man and God, made possible by Jesus. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17, kind of getting into our text here, the meat of it, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So you think about what that verse says, it is God's will for us in Christ Jesus that we pray without ceasing. And that idea of praying without ceasing has always kind of boggled my mind a little bit. Exactly what does that mean? Does God really want us to pray without ceasing? Why would he want us to pray without ceasing? How do you pray without ceasing? So I don't think there's any question that God wants us to pray without ceasing. Jesus told two parables that deals almost specifically with this. We've got the parable of the persistent friend. A friend visits, another friend doesn't have any bread in his home. He goes to another friend and knocks on his door at midnight. And the verse says, because of his shameless audacity, his friend gave him bread. And then it goes on to basically say that we should approach God and ask for these things. The other parable that we have that deals with this is in Luke 18. And this is the parable of the unjust judge and the widow. And so we have a widow that's seeking justice. We've got a judge who's unrighteous, is what the scripture said. He has no regard for man or God. And so it says eventually the unjust judge acquiesces and gives her justice because of her bothering him. That's what the verse comes down and says. We have the Apostle Paul that just over and over again, we already talked about 1 Thessalonians 5:17.
In Romans 12:12, continue steadfastly in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. And then, of course, in Philippians, we've got a long dissertation in chapter 4, but it basically says, in everything by prayer, let your requests be known to God. I believe it's abundantly clear that God definitely wants us to pray without ceasing. There's just too many verses that give direct instruction on Him asking us to do that or commanding us to do that. So then we start to ask ourselves, why would we need to praise without ceasing? Why would we do that? Well, we're told to praise God. Jesus taught us to praise God in prayer, in the Lord's Prayer. Paul gives us an example and a good reason to praise God in prayer in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Another reason we might pray without ceasing is so that we could determine God's will. Jesus showed us in the Lord's Prayer again, pray for God's will on earth to be done. We might pray for our daily needs, again in the Lord's Prayer. And then we know that God's promise to provide our necessities in Matthew 6:31. Don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We're told to pray without ceasing for our forgiveness. Jesus asked for that in Matthew 6:12 in the Lord's Prayer. We know that we find forgiveness through the blood of Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness in 1 John 1. And in Acts 8:22, where Peter admonishes Simon for trying to buy a gift of God, he says, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. Then we might pray to God for protection. In Matthew 6:13, he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then we're promised for that protection in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And God will provide such protection. When praying without ceasing, we should pray for peace of mind. We know that the antidote to anxiety is prayer, as it says in Philippians 4:6-7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We pray for strength and empowerment. Paul says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength in Ephesians 4. He also prays for others that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. We pray for opportunities. Paul knew that the Lord would open doors for him when he prayed about it. So we see that in 2 Corinthians 2:12. We see it in Colossians 4:3. We're told to pray for boldness. When the apostles needed boldness, they prayed and God delivered. We see that in Acts 4. When Paul needed boldness, he asked for prayers on his behalf. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. We're told to pray for wisdom. In James 1, James tells us if we lack wisdom, we should ask God. We're also told to pray for healing. Those who are sick should ask the elders to pray for them in James 5:14-15, and then in James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We're told to pray for tranquility. in 1 Timothy 2, I urge you then first of all that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. And then finally, we're told to thank God through our prayers. And Paul demonstrated this many times, Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We could expound on the thanking God probably and do a 3-lesson series on just thanking God. So those are just a few of the reasons that we might pray. The Israelites understood that prayer was something special. In Deuteronomy 4:7, the statement's made, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us when we pray to him? So the Israelites realized that prayer was absolutely a privilege and that God drawing near to them was something uncommon. That was not something that most nations observed. I told you earlier that there's 650 examples of what to pray for. It tells us why we would pray for those things. We need to understand that there's real power in prayer, and we need to realize that it's truly a privilege. And the reason I wanted to talk about this tonight, I didn't know I wanted to talk about this when Rob called me, but in all honesty, my prayer life for most of my life has been pretty weak. And just here in the last 18 months, I'd say some things changed as I started to put some habits in place and started to try to do things. Rob's sermon series on prayer really helped me a lot. Some things that I saw at Higher Ground helped me quite a bit. But I believed you should pray, but I don't know that I really internalized it and really understood what it can do for us. And I definitely didn't understand the idea of praying without ceasing. So I think the idea of what it means to pray without ceasing, I think that Jesus' parables showed us that we should be persistent and consistent in our prayer lives. I think they show us it means we should never give up. And then I think there's some better pray habits that we can establish, and these are going to seem contrary to each other, but I think they both have their place. It means establishing set times to pray. You'll build that habit of praying. Praying at set times develops experience and persistence in your prayer life. David, in Psalms 55:17, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Daniel, a man after God, in 6:10, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So we see these great men of faith setting time aside at set intervals to spend in prayer. And then, this is what seems kind of contrary, we need to develop that habit of engaging in spontaneous prayer. And I was raised in a pretty strict Church of Christ, a very conservative Church of Christ. And I don't really ever remember hearing spontaneous prayer until I started attending Georgetown in high school. But I always saw prayer as this formal, set thing that needed to be done. There were set words that needed to be said. And so spontaneous prayer, where you pray on the spur of the moment as the occasion calls for it, also has a place. There's biblical examples of that. In 1 Chronicles, we're told about the Israelites fighting, and they call out to God during the battle. He answers their prayers because they trusted in him. Nehemiah is in conversation with the king. He prays to God right in the middle of it. And then Paul and Silas, while they're imprisoned in Acts 16, they go up in spontaneous prayer. Literally, at any moment, we should be ready to call on our God in prayer. Both praying at set times and spontaneous prayer help us to develop a mental attitude of prayerfulness, continue in personal fellowship with God, and a consciousness of being in his presence throughout each day. So I've kind of come to the conclusion that I believe that praying without ceasing is truly a mindset issue, that we have to strive to develop this particular attitude. And so when you think about how we actually do this, I think that where the rubber meets the road, the actual application, something you can sink your teeth into, Paul told us in Philippians 4:4, because everything he says right there, we can absolutely do. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. So kind of to wrap this up, a gentleman named John MacArthur has a book published several years ago called Alone with God. And I thought he summed this up quite well. He says, to pray without ceasing refers to recurring prayer, not nonstop talking. Prayer is to be a way of life. You're to be continually in an attitude of prayer. It is living in continual God consciousness where everything you see and experience becomes a kind of prayer lived in deep awareness of and surrender to Him. It should be instantaneous and intimate communication, not unlike that which we enjoy with our best friend or our spouse. He goes on to say that to pray without ceasing means that when you're tempted, you hold the temptation before God and ask for His help. When you experience something good and beautiful, you immediately thank the Lord for it. When you see evil around you, you ask God to make it right and to use you towards that end, if that's His will. When you meet someone who doesn't know Christ, you pray for God to draw that person to Himself and to use you to be a faithful witness. When you encounter trouble, you turn to God as your deliverer. Thus, life becomes a continually ascending prayer. All life's thoughts, deeds, and circumstances become an opportunity to commune with your Heavenly Father. In that way, you constantly set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. And so I believe it's the will of God for each of us to pray without ceasing, that we need to embrace and enjoy that privilege, and we need to understand the power that's involved in it. If you have a need tonight, feel free to come forward as Jim leads us in song.